have a blue, 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 blue Christmas.
Welcome to Talking with Doyle, the podcast that gets State Representative Doyle Heffley talking. Doyle, we're recording this podcast in the season of giving, but you believe, we're talking off air a little bit, that you believe that the Democrats are giving us a season of bad policies, and you wanted to highlight those, what they brought up right the week before Christmas.
Yeah, here we are, you know, the week before Christmas. I'm not sure when people are going to watch this podcast, but, you know, to everybody out there, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and enjoy, spend time with your family. And I look at the schedule this week, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I love Elvis's Blue Christmas, great song. But we don't have to make it a blue Christmas, and that's what the Democrats are doing. I mean, when I look at the schedule this week, we passed a bill that would They passed a bill.
You voted no.
I voted no. Okay. That would allow child rapists like Jerry Sandusky, murderers, people that are on life sentences in prison, to apply to get out released early if they're sick. I don't think that's what people put them in prison for. I'm for the victims, not the inmates. You know, a life sentence is a life sentence. And, you know, we shouldn't be dumping them out into the public. What that bill would do was just, you know, require your hospitals. And who's going to pick up the tab for that? Medicaid, your tax dollars, the state tax dollars. We have people that are struggling with their taxes. And the Democrats care more about life, people that are in life in prison for murder and rape and wanting to let them out than they are worried about making sure that, our senior citizens have meaningful property tax relief or have the care that they need in their home or making sure that's funded. So that was just a terrible bill.
What bill is that, and just where does that stand?
Yeah, so actually, it passed the House. That was a House Bill 150, very progressive agenda, the bill. And you know, I don't think it's what the people in this Commonwealth sent us to Harrisburg to do was let Jerry Sandusky out of prison early or the people like him. There's a reason. You got to work pretty hard to get a life sentence. Right. And I think that life sentence means a life sentence. The victims don't get a second chance. So we shouldn't be leaving those folks out. So I voted against that bill.
Let me ask you about that bill. When we think about House, obviously here in Pennsylvania, House Democrats control the House, but Republicans control the Senate. Is there any maybe hope if that gets sent to the Senate, that would be sent back here quicker than anything?
I would be hopeful that the Senate wouldn't move it, but that's up to the Senate. But I just want to let the viewers know what goes on here in Harrisburg. Right. And that type of legislation isn't good for our society, right? I mean, then you look at it just, you know, okay, maybe it'll get better after that. And then we voted House Bill 505. Now, we have a lot of people running around the state saying, affordability, affordability, blaming everybody for everything that's not affordable. And yet those same folks, the House Democrats, put in a bill and passed a strict party line vote, 101 to 102 out of the House, that will increase the taxes on your utility bill. Now, at a time when people are struggling to pay their electric bill, and we just came through a very cold snap, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to get sticker shock in January when they see their rates going up, and they want to blame, the governor wants to run around blaming PJM. PJM doesn't set rates. They just make sure the grid has enough power. And PPL, they don't produce the power. They just transport it across their lines. But what we need is more electric generation. We need to produce more electricity. You don't get lower energy bills by putting an additional increase in taxes on people's electric bill. But yet that's what this House majority did. And I just don't think at a time, you know, going into the winter season, in the holiday season, we should be looking at increase in taxes on electric bills. Well, at the same time, we had an amendment on a bill to provide veterans property tax relief for disabled veterans to eliminate property taxes, and the Democrats pulled that and wouldn't let that come up for a vote this week. So I'm a little frustrated at the process this week in Harrisburg, but we're going to continue to battle and do what we can for the hardworking men and women across this Commonwealth.
I want to touch on 2 points there. You mentioned up that House Bill 505, the one that would add a tax onto your utility bill. How much of a tax are we talking about?
Well, the governor, it's the governor's lightning plan. So what it would do is it's a percentage of the revenue that the utility companies get, that the distributors get, not the utility companies, but like PPL. They don't produce electricity. They just move it across the lines. And they collect, there would be a percentage tax on that. So it's not fitting. It could be a 100% increase in that tax or a 50% increase in that tax. But at the end of the day, we're not going to lower utility bills by increasing taxes on utility bills. And that's what the governor's trying to sell this as. And he's going to say, well, we're going to take this money and we're going to give it to people so they can put energy efficient light bulbs in. We tried it. We need to conserve, but we're not going to bring electric rates down like that. What we need to do is produce more electricity because we're selling so much electricity that's produced in the state of Pennsylvania to New York, New Jersey, Virginia, because they shut down so many of their plants. They passed laws like this, drove their electric rates up so high, and now they're importing more and more. Virginia imports 38% of their electricity into their state. Pennsylvania, we still can export, but we need to increase that production, not tax ratepayers. Yeah. So, look, last week we had that cold snap in New Jersey. The government, New Jersey state government sent out a memo to the people in New Jersey that there was a propane shortage to cut back, turn their heat down, keep that shortage. And they can't use natural gas. And the reason they can't use the natural gas is they block the pipelines. We have Pennsylvania natural gas. They're importing natural gas from Europe instead of using Pennsylvania natural gas. And then they're telling their ratepayers that by increasing taxes on their bill, their rates are going to go down. And we're not seeing that in New Jersey or New York or Virginia. So why would we want to model our policy after the failed policies of other states? That's the governor and that's the Democratic majority's philosophy, is if we tax it, we're somehow going to make it cheaper. I don't see how that works.
And you mentioned something in there that I think as a customer of a utility company, I'm pretty sure, don't they offer rebates anyways? If you switch to more efficient things, like more efficient light bulbs, more efficient utilities.
Look, I mean, I think it's a good thing that people want. I mean, look, everybody is, as a father, I always ran around the house and my kids lived at home yet turning lights out all the time. I think everybody wants to conserve that electricity and reduce those rates. Yeah. And that's a good thing. And we should encourage people, but we shouldn't tax them to put in because we want them to replace their light bulbs. That's how are you going to support working class families and senior citizens on fixed incomes by increasing their taxes and then somehow say that this is good for lower income folks? It's a terrible policy. And it's more the progressive agenda, which we've seen has been failing in other states, and why we see such high electricity rates and utility rates and the cost. I mean, we have LIHEAP programs and everything else. Everybody's like, oh, we need subsidies. Kind of like the other thing we passed today was a resolution. I voted for it to encourage Congress for an extension of the Obama Affordable Care Act subsidies, right? Mm-hmm. So what happened is I've never been – they named this thing the Affordable Care Act. It was passed in 2010. I want to meet one person whose health care bill has gone down since they passed Obamacare. And now the same people that put that in place are saying, well, we need to provide more subsidies. And now, look, we're in a situation where I think the federal government should do that, so I want to encourage them to do that. But at the same time, we need to reform this system because it's crushing small businesses. Obamacare was a tax. If you have health insurance, you're paying to cover Medicaid expansion, right? Mm-hmm. Medicaid is just bad insurance, right? I mean, it's government insurance. It's the last choice for insurance. What we should be doing is allowing for associate plans. Like if a group of realtors want to go together, maybe there's 30 of them and form a group plan. Obamacare doesn't allow that. Mm-hmm. So they need to make changes to Obamacare. I mean, Obama, he's a millionaire. He's got great health insurance. But the people that he said he was helping, when they didn't read the bill that they passed, are suffering. And this resolution, while it's a Democrat resolution, I think we should increase those subsidies but maintain them for another year. But we need to reform the Affordable Care Act because it's anything but affordable. And while the people that voted for it, Nancy Pelosi is a millionaire on the stock market, and they voted for it before they read it, But the working class families in every business, how many employers want to give raises to their employees and they can't because they can't keep up with the cost of healthcare? So it's just another just endless bad policy that are coming out. I mean, look, we had to pass a budget 135 days late. Finally, and the governor's running all over about how he made tax cuts for working families and everything else in his budget. There were some good things that we were able to get in there as a Republican caucus. But now they're going back on that and putting more environmental regulations on small businesses, more regulations on small businesses, wanting to let murderers and rapists out of prison early, and then want to increase your electric rates. So I don't support any of that stuff. But I got to say, we'll continue the fight. We'll continue what we can do to improve the lives of every Pennsylvanian.
Speaking about continuing the fight and improving the lives of Pennsylvanians, I want to reference a comment. We said we'll get to the comments, and we're getting back to them. One comment that's hard to ignore, and you'll see this a lot on social media, is more people talking about property tax relief. Mm-hmm. Just talk to me about just where you stand on that and where we go next.
Well, look, we had an amendment today sponsored by my good friend and colleague, Mark Gillen, which would have said we're going to eliminate property taxes in the year 2030. So that gives us 4 years to come up with a plan. I voted for House Bill 76, which would have been a tax shift. I voted for, I think it was House Bill, I think it was 504 or 503 at the time a few years ago, which would have been a 50% property tax reduction for homeowners. I voted for homestead exemptions. I voted for the constitutional amendment to eliminate property taxes. And we've held, you know, we do regular telephone town halls. We're out in the public. We do regular town hall meetings. And some of the people that put comments on my Facebook page, they were in my office for 2.5 hours sitting there talking to me about property. Look, I live it. And so do the people in Carbon County. Our property taxes in some of the areas in Carbon County are much higher than other areas. So I'm all about it. And from day one, we've been working on this issue. It's unfortunate it hasn't gotten passed yet. They need to go out. They don't even live in my district. They need to go out and talk to their legislators and get them to vote for it. Because we had 54 votes the last time, or 54 or 56 votes when we put up House Bill 76 last time as an amendment. And there were over 100 and some co-sponsors. It's not okay to just co-sponsor a bill if you're not going to vote for it. So I'm all about it, and I'll vote for it. I have several proposals right now. I have the long-term homeowner property tax. We would set the rate that if you live in your house for over 10 years, if there's a reassessment, your property taxes can't skyrocket. Mm-hmm. That's just one thing. But I'm all of the above. I mean, I'll vote any day. I was really hoping that we would have got the chance this week to vote on that amendment to eliminate property taxes by 2030. And look, unless you say we're going to eliminate it by this day, the legislature, in my experience, has been very slow to reform the system. But We need that relief.
Before we go any further into that, I think that's something that we could talk about a whole another episode on Talking Doyle about property tax relief, the specific solutions, and just where we go from there. Mm-hmm. But I think that might be a good time to wrap this up, unless you just want to, again, this we'll probably release this right around the right around Christmas. Is there a mm-hmm. Christmas message? Maybe we've dampened the people's spirits. Is there some way that we could take this positive as we head into
I think
the year?
Positive is a lot of these bills, and as frustrating as it is to see some of these bills running out of the House, know that the Senate is probably not going to move a lot of these bills. But these are continual ideas that keep coming out. And we talked about redistricting and how we got in the mess that we're in right now with stacking the districts. But I would just call on everybody. Look, I mean, we proved it this past year in the Human Service Committee. We were able to work in a bipartisan manner to get some good legislation done, get some good things written into the Human Service Code. Today was a frustrating day on the House floor, so I'm sorry if my frustration's coming through a little bit. But I think people need to know that there's a lot of passion out here to push back against these bad ideas, and I'm determined to continue to do just that. And whether it means, you know, talking with Doyle, I've gotten emails from some of the different groups that we've been critical of over the years. So obviously we're getting their attention, but I want people to know what's going on. I want people to know what we're voting for, and let them know that I'm going to continue to fight. I'll vote for a Democrat bill. I'll vote for a Republican bill. Anything that's going to make the lives of Pennsylvanians better, that's going to reduce taxes, create economic opportunities, and provide hope for people that they can get a good job, get good insurance, afford to go see a doctor, and raise their family, and maybe have a little change in their pocket to be able to go out to eat or go on a vacation from time to time. I think that's the American dream.
Or even enjoy Christmas.
And enjoy Christmas, because it doesn't matter what we do here in the House, right? The Christmas is going to come every year, and as a man of faith, at the end, we're all going to be all right. But we're always going to have these opportunities and challenges to go through, and I love being part of this process, and I love standing up for the values of the people in the 122nd District. So Merry Christmas.
That's perfect. Those are Doyle's thoughts. We'd love to hear your thoughts to keep the conversation going. You can leave those in the comment section below. Remember to like and subscribe, and hey, if you have a minute over the holidays, share this with a family member or friend to get the word out to hear more of Doyle's thoughts.